I don't know why you've come tonight. There might be all sorts of reasons. If you're a little child like I was forced to go to listen to the gospel, and I would sit with my ears shut. Then when I got a little bit older, I thought it was a bit silly to waste my Sunday evenings in going to listen to the preaching when my friends were playing a football match. Then when I got a little bit older and I was studying and I was desperate for an exam on Monday morning, I thought it was a bit of a waste of time. I could have made much more use of time in studying, preparing for the exam. And so it goes on. I could give you several examples and you can add your own. I just thank you for coming tonight, dear friend, because I have a wonderful message for you. And if you just listen a few minutes, what we're going to tell you tonight is what is God's desire for you. God has revealed one desire. It's written in the Bible. We'll read about it. If you've come in without knowing God, I would like you to go out having two certainties. One, that God exists. And one, is that you know that he has a desire for you. Let's turn to his word, the Bible. First epistle to Timothy. That's in the New Testament. The first epistle, Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verse 3 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable before our Savior God, who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if this verse is not sufficiently clear, we'll read another one that states the same thing. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, and we read verse 14. Matthew 18, verse 14. That's 1-4. So, it is not the will of your Father, who is in the heavens, that one of these little ones should perish. I come from a country where people are experienced in finding defaults in the law. So we Italians make laws so that we can then avoid them. Now, with God, there's no way out. So I read the one desire of God. And there's the two sides of the coin, so that maybe you're only able to read one, or maybe you can read the other. It doesn't matter which one you understand. I hope you'll understand both of them. But the two verses I read say the same thing. On one hand, it says that God desires that all men should be saved. The other version is that God doesn't want that any man should perish. Does that make sense? Is it clear? So, dear friend, the beautiful desire of God tonight for you and for me is that God wants to save you. He desires to save man. He's made man. Why has he made him then to let him die? That's not God's desire. That's what man has done. That's what me and you do all the time. We spoil everything. But God has made it perfect. So he's made man. He's had one desire. And what we're going to spend a few minutes tonight is not just in understanding God's desire, but seeing how he has made it possible. So God has a desire. He's made a plan. And he's brought it to action. And he's completed the action. Okay? You have desires in your life. You sit down and make a plan. You make a perfect plan. You say in your head everything works perfectly. And then you set out and something comes in to spoil it. That something tonight is you, dear friend. God has made a perfect plan. God has a perfect desire. And you've spoiled it. But let's see what God has done and how can he sort everything out. Let's see it together. So, God desires that all men should be saved. Saved from what? Why should men be saved? I'm I'm a young man, I'm full of ambitions, I want to do loads of things, the world is all mine. This is what you hear around. If you speak to people, this is what we're trying to bring in people's mentality. We're raising generations of people that think they can change the world. My dear friend, the world is an empty, dark place. Because it has no room for his creator, its creator. The world was created in a perfect way by God himself. Perfect. Look at the life and the nature. Look at things around you. Look at the beautiful planets. Look at everything. Just admire it. Look it out for yourself. Don't listen to me. Go out and see what nature can do. How God has made it that it should be perfect. Look at me and you, dear friends. Aren't we amazing creatures? I've got a leaflet at home that tells some facts about people, about mankind, about the body of man. Speaks about the number of beats of the heart in our lifetime. There is no machine, man-made machine, that can work so well. Speaks about the number of names we can remember. There is no memory, no technological memory that does that as well as man does. Man has been made perfect. And when it works perfectly, the body is an amazing creation of God himself. But, dear friend, we've spoilt it all. We've spoilt it. We are the spoil sports, my dear friend. We've caused a lot of grief to the heart of God. How have we done this? What have I done to cause this? My dear friend, I have sinned. I disobeyed God. And I disobey God. I, man, me and you, dear friends, have disobeyed. How do I know this? Why am I so sure in telling you this? Well, the Bible tells me this. The Bible is a book that God has written, okay? He's written a book so that we can have a book where we can understand who God is, what God says, what he thinks, what he desires. This is the book, the Bible. The Bible is a wonderful book, my dear friend. It's the only book that's translated nearly in every language in this world. Not all the dialects yet, but in most languages. And it's, I can tell you another thing. It's the only living book. Does that mean that the Bible walks? No, the Bible doesn't walk. If you put it down, it stands there. But it does more than that, dear friend. The Bible reaches your heart. And I can tell you a story of a Bible that flies, of a Bible that floats, of a Bible that runs. Stories, witnesses of souls like me and you that have found the Savior through the power of the Bible. There's one story of a man who was desperate in his hotel in Paris one night. He was about to take his own life. And then he had the window open and was ready to chuck himself out of that window from the high story building. The window was opened. And in flew a page of the Bible. And there he read that page and came to Jesus. The Bible is a living book. It flies. It does, my friend. So, what does the Bible tell me? The Bible tells us, if you read it from the beginning, it's in order, you know. It's from the beginning to the end. In the beginning, God made the world. That's how things start. God made the world. He made man. He made woman. He made the animals. He made everything. So that we could live with him. And then he said a couple of things. He said, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree. So what does man do? He eats of the tree that God said you shouldn't eat from. Does that make sense? No, but that's what happened. It's the only thing God had said. Don't eat of that tree. And why did man do it? Because there was a tempter. Somebody came and tempted man. My dear friend, do you know that somebody is tempting you tonight? There is somebody that works constantly to try and steal your heart and your life away from you. That person is the enemy of God. And I don't want to dwell with the enemy of God, but I just want you to be aware that there is such power around. There is an enemy of God who lives and rules this world today. That's as bad as it is. So he keeps on stealing away lives, hearts, souls, perfect souls that would be serviceable to God. He steals them away. My dear friend, be sure as you go out of this room that you're not one of them. And there's a way out of this, you know, and that's what we're here for, to tell you how. So what happened is the devil came in. He's called Satan. He is. He lives. He exists. And it's not a joke. He is about. And we need to be very aware. So he comes in and spoils what God has made perfect, so that he tempted man, or woman, and then man, doesn't matter, I just want to keep it simple. He tempted man, and man disobeyed God. And what happened? God said, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will die. What is the consequence? God wasn't joking. So death was introduced in this world. And it's been there since, my dear friend. It's been there since. The cemeteries are full of witness to that. So, man has fallen into the power of Satan, into the power of sin. So we all fall into slavery to sin. That means that in all different ways, some more, some less, some in a less evident way, but we all serve sin. That is, if we're left to ourselves, all we do is we do what we want. And what we want doesn't help us and doesn't make us happy. That's because it's the way of sin. And the wages of sin, that's just to say, the end result of this chain is death. Okay? This is what's happening. So, what does God want to save us from? From this. He wants to avoid that we perish, that we die, that we waste a life, and that we're lost for eternity. What does that lost for eternity mean? Well, let me open up a little bracket there. Do you think God has not dealt with Satan? God has dealt with Satan already. We'll see how in a minute. But he's also prepared a place for Satan and all his demons. Okay? That's where Satan will go. That's his final destination. But God has made that place, which is called the lake of fire, not for you or for me. He's made it for Satan. So he doesn't want you to end up there. And I don't want you to end up there, my dear friend. So God wants you to be saved. Saved from sin. And brought into eternal life. That is never dying again. Okay, this is what God wants for you. So God has this desire. And how has he made it possible? What has been his plan? We sometimes speak of a plan of salvation. God's plans to save man. The glad tidings. This occasion is called the preaching of the gospel, of the glad tidings. So we just give the good news to you, my dear friend, of the way in which God has made it possible that we should be saved. What has he done? He's centered all things in one man. And he is, this one man, is the center of the message tonight. This man is called, do you know? Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. The world is speaking of Jesus in these days. I was just speaking to my wife coming up. Why is it that the world at Christmas time speaks about Jesus so much? My dear friend, I would want you to know about Jesus, not just now, but every day of your life. Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? This name that is given from heaven whereby we can be saved. There is no other name. But if you speak in the power of the name of Jesus, there is great power. Who is this person? Jesus is God himself, manifested in flesh. He is the Son of God. And he came down here many years ago, more than 2,000 years ago now, and he came to live in this world. Why did Jesus come? Because you and I claimed that God didn't exist. That's what we claim. That's what the world claims. Oh no, that's a fable. No, that's religion. What are you talking about? I don't want anything to do with that. This is the answers I get daily when I speak to people. So it can't be far away from my heart and from your heart. This is what we claim, that God doesn't exist. So what did God do? He came down here as a man so that we could see him, so that we could touch him, so that we could listen to him, so that we could see what he is, what he did. So Jesus came in this world, my dear friend, the greatness of the gospel, that Jesus came in this world to seek and to save those that are lost, those who are under the slavery of sin. That is me and you, dear friend. How does Jesus then work out God's plan of salvation? Well, he worked it out perfectly. For a start, he was an obedient servant to God himself. If you look in the story of Jesus, as written in the Bible, the New Testament, particularly the first four books, that's the four Gospels, I'm engaged in telling you the story of Jesus, how Jesus lived. So if you're interested in that, you can look to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read about Jesus and his story, what he did. And when he was a young boy, 12 years old, I don't know if there's any boys and girls who are 12 years old here, but you can imagine being in that situation. He was in the temple, and his parents lost him. They wanted to go home, and they went away, and they left him there. So when they come back to the temple, what does Jesus say? Didn't you know that I ought to be occupied with my Father's business? What was this business? Your salvation, dear friend. So Jesus came, and from an early age, he was occupied in doing God's will. Let's skip and go a bit forward in Jesus' life. We get to a very crucial point of Jesus' life that I hope it affects your heart. He was in a garden, alone, and he was praying. He was crying and praying to God. Why was he? Because he knew that that same night he was going to be delivered into the hands of the enemy. And he was crying. But what did he say? He said, not my will, but your will be done. That's devotion, dear friend. And he did that because of you. So, again, a confirmation of how Jesus was carrying out that plan. Skip further a little bit. After that, Jesus was crucified on the cross at Calvary. Two criminals, and Jesus in the middle. The perfect man, Jesus, in between two criminals. Yes, that's true. And there he was. And what does he say after suffering there on the cross? Before dying, Jesus says three words. It is finished. So Jesus had completed the plan of salvation of God. So, what is it all about? My dear friend, Jesus came in this world to save sinners. How did he do it? By accomplishing, by doing exactly what God said he should do. Me and you are not able to do it. We were not able to do it. We disobeyed, ready, steady, go, right from the beginning. We couldn't do what God asked us to do. So Jesus did it in our stead. And what did he do? He did all that God wanted him to do. And he went to Calvary. Where, what is Calvary? What does it mean to you and to me? We have a big piece of paper on the fridge at home. It says Calvary. What does Calvary mean to you and to me? Calvary is the place where Jesus was crucified for me and for you. Why? Because he took your sins and my sins. He put them on his shoulders and he died and bore the judgment of God over sin. So that you and I, dear friend, could be set free. So Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. Scripture says and tells us he died. So then his body, to confirm that he was dead, was pierced. And out of that body came water and blood. Now, I mention this because the blood is one of the most important points of the gospel story. Why is that? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. I don't need to know what you've done. You need to confess to Jesus. But know this. You can confess with a true and sincere heart and a hopeful heart because the blood of Jesus cleanses you from every sin. There is no judge that can work that way, my dear friend. Only Jesus can cleanse you from all your sin because he shed his blood for you and for me. So his body was put in the sepulcher, in a tomb. Everything was done in a rush because the world had to go on, dear friend. We need to go on. There's plans. We need to carry on. There was a feast in Jerusalem in those days. So there was no time to waste with criminals that died on the cross. They said he was put aside, put into a sepulcher. But 3 days later, that tomb was empty. Have you ever been in the cemetery and seen a tomb opening? Empty. That's what happened. He raised. He came out of death. And why do I mention this? Because in going through death and out of death, he defeated the one that had power of death. And that is Satan. So Jesus has completed the work and he has overcome the devil, the enemy of God, by going into death and coming out of death. So from that moment, Jesus then showed himself to his own. Who are his own? People that loved him. People that cared for him. People that wanted him to be their savior. And so, after that, he ascended. And where is Jesus now? In the same place where he ascended. Jesus today is listening and looking out to you from heaven. So think of this. God has a plan to save you. Has a desire to save you. He's made a perfect plan. He sent his son to do it and to complete it. The Son, Jesus Christ, has completed the work and is now sitting at the right hand of God, having said it is finished. It is completed. What a beautiful message. I couldn't have a better message to tell you, dear friend. It's wonderful. So that's all been done. What's left now? God desires to save you. What is left now, my dear friend? It's left for you to make a step. And that is a step of believing in Jesus. God doesn't ask us much, dear friend. He doesn't say, okay, now take your car and go for 3,000 miles. Or walk 2,000 miles on your knees. Or pray every single day until your knees are red. No, God doesn't say that. God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou wilt be saved. You will be saved, my dear friend, because the plan of salvation of God is so perfect that it couldn't depend on what we did or didn't do. So the thing is, the beauty is of this plan that is available for everyone tonight. All you need to do to make it yours, dear friend, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean? It's very simple. It means to believe that Jesus is God himself.
is the Son of God, and that he actually did come down here and he died for your sins. So just to believe in Jesus means that you're aware that you're a sinner before God, and you confess your sins to God himself. There's no need to confess them to the priest. There's no need to confess them to your friend. No need. Go directly to God. He's waiting. He's waiting to listen to your voice. You can also whisper. You don't need to shout it out loud. My dear friend, are you going to Jesus tonight? Jesus is alive. Jesus is available for you tonight. God's desire, remember, is to save you. How has he made it possible? By sending his son Jesus. He died, was buried, and he raised because of your sins to settle the matter of sin that stood between you and your God. So now God is available to receive you with open arms if only you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you turn to Jesus tonight, dear friend, for his name's sake.